There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Welcome back. I'm Cameron Smith, filling in for Sean Sullivan. You're listening to Midday Mobile. I'm looking over on the text line. You guys need to join in the conversation. 251-343-0106. It looks like Jerry wants to fight. Jerry says that the mask mandate shoot holes in my rule of law theory when the government can mandate BS like mask lockdowns and vaccines, the Constitution gets pushed to the side. I wish Jeff Sessions had Mike Pence would have been men instead of rule of law cowards. It would have been very interesting. I hear you, Jerry. I understand what you're saying is that, hey, some of these masks and lockdowns and things like that, some of them were unconstitutional. Some of them were struck down. They weren't allowed to proceed. But there's nothing manly about ignoring the rule of law, because you say the Constitution gets pushed to the side. What do you think the Constitution constitutes? It's a government. It's a government. And it outlines processes and how these things are done and how we decide elections and who's eligible for what. So if you're telling me, you know, let's be men instead of rule of law cowards, you're the one that wants to push the Constitution to the side. You're the one who says, I want what I want. It doesn't matter how we do this. I'm going to get it. So, Jerry, you're the problem. And so, yeah, maybe I'm a little cranky because I'm not feeling so hot. But the idea that it's manly, that we're tough, that we're fighters when we ignore the Constitution and ignore the rule of law, give me a break. That's ridiculous. Some of the hardest things that we have to do are upholding the rule of law, upholding the Constitution. I've dealt with it with the First Amendment. I've been sued. I've been... Let me tell you a quick little story. I had to deal with a lawsuit from Ella Bell, state school board member. She came after me after I wrote a column about some of the things she said. She said them on video. And all I did was write my opinion about what she said, and that's protected First Amendment speech. The Constitution's right there. But I had to go through years of hell because she and a plaintiff's attorney from Montgomery thought it'd be fun to go after a conservative columnist. I was afraid I was going to lose my house. Now, I won. The Supreme Court issued an opinion and said, hey, you don't have to like it, but what Mr. Smith did was constitutionally protected speech. But that process is real important, and I had to go through it, and I didn't like it. But I think that's where we get in these, like, blowhard, you know, I want what I want. I'm a fighter. I'm fighting. Fighty fight. Uh-uh. You want to know who the real men are? The ones that do what's right when it's hard. They don't stick their fingers up in the air and they say, hey, you know what? Let's see which way the political winds are blowing and see if I can ride that. Now, I'm with you in that I'm not going to back any mask mandates. I'm not going to support any of that stuff at this point because, good grief. I mean, we've been through this and we've had enough. But I want to be real clear, crystal clear on this point that, you know, and this is the populist stuff that I don't go along with, that when you want something because you like it, then you take it and the Constitution and the rule of law be damned. Absolutely not. I will fight you tooth and nail on that, because I have seen governments around the country, or around the world. I haven't seen governments around the country, but frankly, I've seen some of those too, that are despotic. They say we get to do what we want. This is why I fight the administrative state in Washington. That's why I push back on them. I wrote the Reins Act for Jeff Davis years ago to basically say, no, Congress, these major rules that we have to deal with every day, like EPA mandates and other stuff that cost hundreds of millions of dollars, Congress should have to vote on that. And I think the problem here is that we're not focusing on the right thing. And that was the polling data that I put out there. Like, we want to win the woke war, right? We don't like the way, you know, somebody has their viewpoint. Well, guess what? It's free country. It still is. So people can have really dumb opinions and ideas. They can have woke perspectives. That's protected by the Constitution. And I had to explain to somebody the other day that you can restrict time, place, and manner. The Supreme Court's allowed that on First Amendment grounds. But those content restrictions, where you're telling people that somebody's saying something offensive, when the government comes in and says, I find that offensive, you can't do that. Well, actually, that's why we have the First Amendment, is so government doesn't get to restrict the content of speech. And I understand, as a parent, I don't like that. There are sometimes... there's sometimes that I don't like what's going on because I don't like the content. But those are the times that I have to say, you know what? The Constitution is the Constitution. We win more often than we lose, and it helps keep America together. So, yeah, it's tough. Jimmy is asked, can you please take a moment to explain why exactly Donald Trump wanted the Constitution to be suspended and see what happened, because everybody thought that he'd been robbed and wanted to do a quick investigation while the iron's hot. So Trump threw this out, this idea of, well, let's just suspend things for a second and get to the bottom of this. And I hear that. I agree that when something as high stakes as a presidential election is there, we want to get it right. The challenge for Trump is that there were opportunities for cases to be heard. There absolutely were. Like, this has happened all the way back, Bush v. Gore. I mean, we've had election challenges in the courts. And the courts hear some of them. They don't hear some of them. Some are successful, some are not. That's the normal and appropriate way to do all of this stuff. Trump basically said, that's not good enough. I didn't get the results I want. And now I want to kind of press pause. Well, the point of that is that that's not right. If the Congress certifies the election, that's it. That's the last bite of the apple. That is, we have certified that, in this case, Joe Biden was the duly elected president of the United States. And I know how uncomfortable that is for a lot of people to hear. Like, trust me, my own dad was like, I don't know about this. This seems fishy. Well, yeah, I get that. That last election, because of COVID, was absolutely weird. It just was. There's no way around that. And so I think that, combined with the stuff that Trump said because he didn't want to be a loser, created a situation where a lot of people believed it. And a lot of people said, hey, I think this was a stolen election. The guy I voted for is telling me it's a stolen election. And look at that guy over there. He campaigned from the basement. You're telling me he won? And the answer is, yeah. Once Congress certified that, it was over. But I'm not mad at you. I mean, I'm not going to browbeat you and say how, you know, do what the left does and say, well, y'all are all so stupid. How could you believe? It's just not true. No, there's a lot of things that a lot of people saw that didn't pass the sniff test. And that's actually why I'm really glad that we're going to have these trials, because it's not just Donald Trump that's on trial. It's this notion that the election was stolen. One of the things that Trump's going to have the opportunity to prove is that, hey, I believed it was stolen. Here's why I believed it. And here's the information that proves it. Or not. And I think we need that. As a country, we need to have that go through the discovery process. We need to see what the backroom conversations were. We need to see what Trump believed and didn't believe and have that conversation. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think it'll actually clear up a lot for our country versus creating more confusion. It will either Donald Trump had a claim that, you know, he won that election and he can prove it up and he was willing to do whatever it took to get the right result and he'll be exonerated, or he lost that election, didn't like the results, and then tried to do things to alter the outcome impermissibly. That those are the two options, and I like that. I can work with that. We need to take a break. I'm Cameron Smith. I'm filling in for Sean Sullivan, and this is Midday Mobile.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. We're powering through. I'm Cameron Smith, filling in for Sean. I appreciate y'all's patience with me as my offspring have brought home something that is horrifically bad, and I sound like a foghorn. We've been talking about Trump getting a fair trial, what happened, the 2020 stuff. What's really interesting is that sort of sifting through some of the polling information, the number of Republicans that say they're concerned about election security has gone down precipitously. It's not even close to the top of the list of issues they're concerned about while making their presidential primary selection. So I think what's happened here is, and it's kind of a weird feeling because the left certainly doesn't want to move on. Let's call a spade a spade. Joe Biden wants to run the exact same campaign in 2020 that he ran in 2020. That's what he wants to do. He wants to hide in the basement. I still am not convinced he's going to be the candidate. I think when Ron DeSantis debates Gavin Newsom, there's a decent chance that Gavin Newsom's star rises and Democrats wake up, because the truth is I have tons of Democratic friends. I troll them all the time, as a good friend should. This is what I do with my Tennessee fans and my Auburn friends. You owe it to them to kind of mess with them. And I repeatedly go to them and just say, really? That's your guy? You're going with this Biden guy? Really? And they, of course, retort, well, look at Trump. I'm like, no. I'm not asking you to deflect. I'm asking you to tell me that you're really excited about Joe Biden, that he's your guy. That's who you want to be in the trenches with. The guy who does and just kind of wanders off. No. I mean, come on, folks. Like, I don't actually care about your politics here. You look at the guy and he's not keeping it all together, and then to say, oh, well, that's unfair, you know. No, it's quite fair. Being president of the United States is one of the toughest jobs in the entire world. So if you are not in the physical frame to be able to handle its demands, physical or mental, and I'm not going to sit out here and say things I don't know, but I can tell you I've observed on public-facing videos and things like that, all is not well. That he's repeatedly, and I know that he's had some issues with stuttering and stuff. This is different. And again, I'm going to keep banging on the drum. We need younger people in. We absolutely do. It needs to be balanced. I'm not saying we shouldn't have any elderly folks in Congress or in the White House. I'm just saying we need some balance. Right now, it's White House is super old, Senate's super old, House is oldish. And I get it. I mean, most folks like me with young kids, most of us are like, ah, man, I don't know if I can make that work. I need to be at youth football practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays for 2 hours. How am I going to do that if Chuck Schumer is telling me I got to go vote? So I've got some ideas on that, actually. I think it's absolutely stupid that we make it easy for lobbyists and moneyed interest to target Washington, D.C. Now, I think for the State of the Union, they should gather together. I think for various other, you know, subversive committee hearings and things like that, fine. But we can securely vote. It's literally 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate. You're telling me we can't securely take votes remotely? I mean, I've worked in the Senate. I've worked in the House. I can tell you, most of the votes are on dumb stuff. It's like a post office naming. You don't have to be in the nation's capital to do that. And I would love, I've long suggested, and I'm getting off on a tangent here because it's one that really excites me. Why not move the agencies around the country? Like, it was tossed around, putting the FBI in Alabama. Why not? Why don't we take Department of Commerce and put it in North Dakota? There is no reason. There is no, this all must stay here. Historically, there was a reason. They didn't have the technology, so a centralized location that was the seat of the federal government made a lot of sense. It was where everybody would kind of go, they would gather, they would do business, and then they would go back home. I think we should break it up. I think we should fracture it into as many pieces as we reasonably can and make it so that the members and senators spend more time at home with their families and with their communities than they do with lobbyists. And I'm not anti-lobbyist. I'm just simply saying we make it easy on them. When they're doing their legislative work, we send them to the lion's den. Why not do it the other way? Why not spend most of your time on bills and things like that that are basic from home? Talk to your people about it. You know, when you can go to lunch with one of your constituents and say, hey, I'm thinking about this legislation. What do you think? It's a lot better than going with a lobbyist. But what do I know? I've only worked there and seen it and understand the problem. But I get it. 7132 makes a good point. I appreciate your optimism, but I don't see Trump getting a fair trial in the current venues. That's fair. First of all, I said it yesterday. I'll say it. You'll hear it 1,000 times. Be a happy warrior, okay? Don't let these jokers drag you down. Don't let them. When I see candidates tell me how bad America is, that's a load of crap. America is awesome. And I'm so sick and tired of the Debbie Downer political class trying to scare us and trying to tell us you've lost America. I was talking to a member of Congress the other day, and this member, I'm not going to say who it was, but this member was telling me that, hey, if we don't take back the White House, basically America's over. And I told that member, that's not true. Because we may win, we may lose, but America's going to keep going because the people are going to keep going. We're resilient. And so I don't like that. I'm not going to vote for that. I'm not going to play ball with folks that are just telling me everything's horrible. You should be afraid. You should be scared. Give me control so I can do what I want. Nah, that's not my America. But we got to take a break. I'm Cameron Smith. You're listening to Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Cameron Smith, filling in for Sean. I usually join him on Wednesdays, and y'all are always gracious, and I appreciate y'all on the text line, 251-343-0106. It really is a lot more fun when you guys participate. Pat made a good point. How do we expect to retire by 65 and live our best life after that, yet we keep voting old hags to continue running our country into the ground? I think 65 should be the limit. Once you hit 65, you got to go on your birthday. So I hear you, Pat. And I think a lot of folks are there. I think without some of the changes that I mentioned of decentralizing our federal government from Washington, D.C., and giving folks an opportunity to take care of their family and serve, I'll just be honest with you guys. I would love to run for office. I'd love to serve my community. That's something that I, from a very long time, folks have asked me about that. And, you know, there's a couple things I said. One, I'd never do it because of my own ego. That's the wrong reason to go for public service. And I'm also not going to lose my family in the process. That's one where, as a younger man, I'm not super old now, but in my 30s, I got way into work, right? I decided that I was going to provide for my family and make a bunch of money, and I almost lost my family in the process. And so as much as I want to serve our country, as much as I want to serve the people I care about, I'm not going to lose my family in the process. And the lifestyle in D.C. is grueling and rugged. And some people are willing to give it a shot. Senator Katie Britt's an excellent example. She has a young family. She's making a real sacrifice. And the idea that, you know, we don't make it easy for that. We make it easy for somebody who's really old and retired and on their back nine to run for office. But, you know, younger families, they pay a serious price because mom or dad just isn't as available. Or you got kids flying back and forth to D.C. You got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And so it's easy to just pick a number and say, hey, that's the limit. But the real issue is allowing leadership to be something that's congruent with family. And until we do that, I think most folks are going to look at it and say, my family's really important to me, and I'm not willing to take the risk. And those who do are saying, hey, I know this is going to be tough, but I think I can make it work. And so I don't fault anybody for giving it a go. I've been up in Washington long enough, and I've worked on the Hill long enough to know the idea that these politicians go up there and they don't work or they just sit around is ridiculous. They're going from one event to the next. They're going from one meeting to the next meeting. Everybody's begging for a lot of their time. And so that's what you got to change. Pat, the rule that I'm going with, and again, man, people yip at me for it, is I'm just not going to vote for any politician that's beyond the United States life expectancy. It's about 77 years. It's technically like 77.28. I'm not splitting hairs here. I'm simply saying, if you have lived beyond the U.S. life expectancy, most of your life is behind you. And so if you are making decisions for me and my family that you won't be around to experience. So you make the choice, but the odds that you're going to be around to deal with the consequences are pretty low. I'm just not going to do that. And I've told people that. And I understand that some folks say that's arbitrary. Yeah, it is. I mean, but that to me is a reasonable line, that if you're beyond the United States life expectancy, then I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to, I'm not going to say that, well, you're my only hope. And I want to be real clear about this. I have one savior. It's Jesus Christ. I have never and will never look to any politician to save me, my country, my family. These are just employees, okay? They work for us, and they're supposed to appropriately represent our views. That's it. And so what ends up happening is, and 7312 on the text line made a good point, that a lot of folks just don't want to give up the power. And mentioned money too, but I think it's more the power. When you're a United States senator, it's a pretty elite club. There's only 100. When you're a member of Congress, similar. That is a small number of people, and they like being important. The rich men north of Richmond really enjoy going to the special parties, going to the things that most of us don't get to go to. And I get it. I'm just saying that we shouldn't put up with it. That we should say, how are you representing me well? I want you to spend more time with me and less time up there. And I think the problem here is that we don't care enough to do something about it. You know, and I think it was Dan yesterday that made the point that really got my attention. You can like somebody and realize you need to do a lot better. And then Dan was talking about Trump. And I thought that was a great point. That you can like somebody and realize you got to do a lot better. And I think that's a great assessment for where the Republican Party is right now. Is we got to do a lot better, folks. We just do. We got to stop going after folks that just tell us what we want to hear. I can find y'all opinion pollsters. I know exactly. This is been part of my career. I can look at polling data. I can look at any number of different data points and tell you what you want to hear. I know that those of you on the super text line that are like, Cameron, he drives me nuts. I know it. But one of the things that I think you guys know about me is I'm going to shoot you straight. Like sometimes y'all get mad at me. And I know that. Sean tells me about that. Sean loves to tell me, oh man, you stirred him up again. Because I'd rather tell you the truth. And one of the ways you can know it's the truth is when it's unsettling. When somebody, every politician out there is going to tell you, I tell you the truth. You need to listen to the truth. We love revolution. All this, I mean, they're all talking points, right? But if you like everything you hear, somebody's lying to you. And I mean that. That if everything you hear just sort of sounds good, then, man, either you dictate reality itself or somebody's lying to you. And so a normal relationship and a healthy one is with people, leaders, politicians, who agree with you a lot, but then sometimes don't. And I think that that's kind of where we find ourselves. Mr. Happy makes the point. Didn't Trump have the opportunity to challenge the election and failed over in his fight? Why does Trump keep saying he has a right to do so? I think once you're there, you keep going, right? You know, Trump, and I've written about this, but there's not a good off-ramp for everybody that believed what Trump was selling, right? You know, most of the federal delegation in Alabama just parroted what he said, right? They didn't question it. They just said, oh, yes, this was a suspicious election. They tried to play word games, so they didn't really fully commit in true political form. But to sort of recant from that and say, actually, this guy lied, and he didn't have quite the evidence he said he did, and we believed it. Well, that's embarrassing. And so I think Trump is basically saying, I'm going to keep going and just saying, no, it was stolen. I'm saying it's stolen. I'm going to keep saying it's stolen because to do otherwise, one, puts him in legal jeopardy. And two, if imagine that Donald Trump comes out and says, guys, I was just really upset that Joe Biden beat me. And so I wanted to believe it was stolen, but it wasn't. It really wasn't. He won fair and square. I mean, really? I mean, can you imagine how fast Donald Trump would be thrown into the trash bin of history? Can you imagine how many politicians who repeated what Trump said would get primaried because they didn't have the good judgment to know the truth from a lie? So that's why. That's the reason we're going to keep doing this. That's the reason I think we need to have these criminal trials. I frankly let the legal cards fall where they may, but I think it's good for us to have this argument out under oath. I think it's good to do it in a court of law versus in a court of politics. This way we say, what's the truth? What's actually there? And we'll look at it. We'll be able to see it. And I think that's the best thing that could happen for our country. Brandon on the text line says, how do you think the election's going to pan out? Man, I wish I knew. I think, I'll put this real specifically. I think that there's a quarter of the Republican Party that it literally doesn't matter what Trump does. Indicted, convicted, mass murder, it would not matter. Like, he's not joking. Like, there's 25% of the Republican Party that Trump can do anything he wants and they're still going to vote for him. That's a given. What I think seriously is that 75% of the Republican Party is looking for an alternative. I think they liked a lot of Trump's policies. You hear that all the time. They liked his defense of the border. They liked his economic policy. There's a lot of policy things they like. I think what you're going to see is folks are quickly, as the field narrows, going to try to coalesce around an alternative. And I think there's enough of the Republican primary vote that can go to somebody not Trump. And so I know that it's crazy, but I actually don't think Trump's going to be the nominee. If I had to guess today, I still would probably say DeSantis. Nikki Haley was great. And if enough folks say, I like the Trump look, feel, but I need something younger, more, you know, less baggage, Ramaswamy could have a really good run. But I think Ramaswamy and Trump share too many of that core 25% voter that goes to Trump for him to be successful. So I think he's going to ultimately have a tough time. But I do think that Republicans are looking for a different option at this point. Because more than anything, it's not an anti-Trump sentiment. Like, you have the anti-Trump Republicans who are like, he's the worst, he's terrible, the Chris Christie types. Most people just want to move on, right? They're like, yeah, Joe Biden's the president. Let's move on. I don't want to relitigate this. I don't want to be explaining you and the weird things you say. I don't want Rudy Giuliani's running his mouth. I don't want the promise of all this evidence and all this stuff that just never happens to show up, right? And that's way different than never Trump or anti-Trump. It's more like, let's move on. And I think a lot of Republicans are there, but they just haven't decided who it's going to be. My Christmas wish list in terms of the ticket, I'll tell you after the break. We're going to finish out this hour strong. I'm Cameron Smith, filling in for Sean Sullivan. And this is Midday Mobile.
Talk 106.5 is Mobile and Baldwin County's number one creator of live local content.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile.
Listen on air, online, and on demand. FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Man, folks, we made it. Two hours. We got a few more minutes on the show, but thank y'all for just dragging me through. I really appreciate it. Appreciate y'all's emails. Feel free to shout out at me at D Cameron Smith on Twitter. That's D as in David, Cameron Smith on Twitter. Really helps me. And I'll tell you what, like I said, I write a lot and I do a lot of radio. And you guys in Lower Alabama do a great job of having great conversation. And man, I appreciate it so much. And, you know, a lot of online people hide behind anonymous handles and just throw bombs. You guys got great questions and really engage well. So keep up the good work. I really, really appreciate it. I said I would tell you my ticket that my heart is hoping for. I see a situation where Trump starts to fade. He'll come on, have a great debate, trash some people, but the legal stuff takes a toll. 75% of the party's looking for somebody else. Haley keeps presenting as the adult in the room and really has a good answer on abortion stuff. Like, that was the question she did the best on. And I think that's it takes a stick out of the hands of the Democrats. And so I did not go into the debate thinking I would be saying Nikki Haley, but can you imagine the look on Democrats' faces if they had to deal with like a Nikki Haley, Tim Scott ticket? I mean, it would just blow their minds of all of their different priors, but for Republicans to be like, yeah, this is who we decided to go with. After y'all decided that we were going to pick Trump and we were going to do it this way, I think if I had to call it today, the reality is we probably end up with a DeSantis Haley or DeSantis Scott. Brandon mentioned that. I think Brandon's probably right, because I think what I've seen all along is that even as Ron DeSantis has had some campaign issues and he needs to stop listening to the DC consultants, he is the second choice for a lot of people. And that matters a lot. So there's a lot of Trump voters that they're sitting there. They're like, I'm Trump. I like Trump. Who's your second pick? Ron DeSantis. That matters a lot, because I think the move on movement will take root, because I think that's the sweet spot, right? And Nikki Haley and some of the other debate folks got this. That's like, can we just move on? Like, we don't have to hate on Trump. We don't have to say Trump's all these awful things, but why don't we just move on? Democrats, Joe Biden's running one campaign. It's against Donald Trump. It will be, let me hide in the basement and talk about how awful Trump is. And let me just throw all his legal stuff up on a loop in Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania. And I win. That seems terrible, because it's so avoidable. We can beat this guy six ways from Sunday by just not giving him what he wants. And I think this is why, and this is as far as I'll go down conspiracy road, but this is why a lot of the legacy media focuses so heavily on Trump, doesn't focus on Biden at all. And then when folks are starting, you saw this with DeSantis. DeSantis was doing well, and then all of a sudden it was just a pile on of, oh, he's terrible. Well, the media controls a lot of the narrative, right? What you read and what you see all the time deeply impacts what you think, right? And so we need to be mindful of that, and we need to look at the field as they debate, as they're up there, including Trump. I'm not suggesting that he be written off necessarily, but make a decision based on what we see. We got to trust our own eyes and ears. And this is coming from a guy that writes opinion and talks as part of his living. But I can talk to you about what I see. I can give you my opinion. I can tell you why I think and feel the way I do. And thankfully, some people actually pay me for that. But what's really important is that you learn to trust yourself, that you learn that what you see is real. And I think we played this weird game for a long time now, and it's a huge problem that reality is in flux. No, it's not. Everybody's trying to shape the story for you, but trust yourself. Trust in your capacity to make a decision, look at those people on stage, see how they perform, and then decide who's the best person to represent you. That's what you should do for president, senator, House of Representatives, and down the line. Don't play the game of, I saw something on social media, I was watching something on Twitter or cable news, and let that decide for you. Because this is a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and I sure hope it doesn't vanish from this earth. But that's only going to happen if we trust ourselves. And I know that sounds like a weird thing to end on, of trust yourself. I get, this is way different, by the way, than do your own research. Some of you, man, you should not do your own research. You should ask for help. But when you see somebody on a stage and they're telling you stuff and it doesn't hit you right, it doesn't sound right, stick with your guns. Go with it. Y'all have been a great audience today. Thank you for helping me get through. I was not feeling well, but y'all made me feel a lot better. I'm Cameron Smith. I'm filling in for Simon Sullivan, and this is Midday Mobile.